you've been enjoying the presence of the Lord this morning. The Lord is good and the Lord is faithful. So proud of our graduates. So proud of this group of revivalists that has come through first year. We have watched a transformation in each life, and God has definitely done a deep work in their lives, and I'm thankful for that. Can't wait to see what God has for them next. Maybe it's second year. I don't know, you know. Oh, prophesying. So this morning I've tried to fit the message around our graduates, but not only our graduates, but I really believe this is a now word for the church in general. And so how many of you have ever caught yourselves wondering, what really does God have for me to do? What is my destiny? What is my reason for being here? So how do we find our destiny? I believe in order for us to know your destiny, we need to understand the assignment that we've been given. You see, our assignment in life is to bring heaven to earth and to see the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God. So how do we bring heaven to earth? I'm glad you asked me that this morning. We bring heaven to earth by allowing the Holy Spirit in us to begin to influence the world around us. Amen? And as I thought about that this morning, I shared earlier the service, and I'll share both stories. But there's a young lady who's been attending with us lately. There's so many of young ladies, I want to clarify that. And I know that God is using all of you in a mighty way. But it was a few weeks ago that my wife brought to my attention that one of the young ladies who attend our church, her name is Jolie, and I think some of you know her. She's a blonde-haired girl just on fire for the Lord. She begins over here, and then she ends up usually on the floor over here. So, yeah, so not everybody knows who she is, right? Amazing. My wife showed me this Facebook comment, and I'm not on Facebook, but she showed me because it said on there that she began to share a testimony that in the place where she worked as a server in a restaurant, she was serving a few people, two younger ladies who were there for a meal. And how many of you know that it takes serving and loving well to be able to position yourself to speak into people's lives? What was amazing as the story unfolded, she began to tell that as she was walking back and forth and serving the table, that God began to give her some words of knowledge and let her know some things that were happening in these two young ladies' lives. So after they had served, and had, I think after they'd eaten their meal, she came over and began to have a conversation with them. And she told me, she shared the story with me. She actually sat right down there in the booth with them, and she began to just have a conversation. And before long, it wasn't a few minutes after she began the conversation, she had asked one of the young ladies, "Are you experiencing some pain?" And at first it was like, "Oh, no," you know. But then all of a sudden she said, "Well, there is this lump on my neck that's been there for 10 years, and I just have a lot of pain from it." She said, "Well, would it be okay if I prayed with you?" So she prayed with them right there in the restaurant, and the testimony goes on. And she administered to the other young lady also. But before long, the young lady she had prayed for in conversation afterwards realized that, oh my goodness, not only is my pain gone, but the lump is gone too. So heaven invading earth kind of looks like you listening to your Father who is in heaven and walking out the things that He lays on your heart. And as if that wouldn't have been enough, she told me a few days later, one of her co-workers had come to her and said, "Hey, do you have any aspirin or anything in your purse? I have a terrible headache, and I was wondering if I could get some for you." She says, "Yeah, sure, as soon as I drop off this food, I'll meet you, and I'll give it to you." Well, she delivered the food to the people who were there, and she came in the back, and I think her co-worker was looking for her to get into her purse, and she said, "Well, how about if I just pray for you?" And the story goes on to say that as she began to pray for her, right then and there, the power of the Lord hit this young lady, and her headache just left. So what I'm trying to encourage you with those stories are, you're packing the same Holy Spirit. How does heaven invade earth? It invades earth through you. Now that's a good word. You see, God is trying to get you to understand the importance of you dealing with what's going on inside of you. Because it will position you to redefine the nature of the world that's around you. You see, the world around you starts to take on the shape of the world that's inside of you. So as we learn to contend for heaven on earth, we realize then that our destiny is heaven. But here's where it gets a little interesting or a little tricky. You see, because I believe most of our journey to our destiny, which is heaven, is determined, the outcome is determined by our attitude and our heart. And as I thought about that this morning, I realized that God was trying to tell us, listen, it's very important how you perceive things, how you think things, and then how you process things in your heart. So the Lord dropped four things into my spirit that I believe will help us with our attitudes and our heart, that will help us keep our heart and attitudes lined up with the purposes of God. Now, anybody could use that kind of information this morning? I know as the Lord began to reveal this to me last night, it began to do a work in my life. So I just declare over you this morning, as hearers of the word of the Lord, that there will be an activation in your heart and mind this morning that will set you up for advancement on every front. Amen. So the first thing that I believe that is not any more important than the other is, but the first thing I want to present to you is, we need to stay thankful. Don't fall into the trap of complaining about what God hasn't done, but be thankful for what He has done. Amen? Church, there is nothing more than the accuser would love than to get you to partner with what he is saying instead of what the Lord is saying over you. So what does your accuser say over you? He says, listen, things are getting worse. Your life's all messed up. How many of you felt like you can't get out of the hole because every time you turn around, something else is happening? Anybody else got that? Yeah. Well, I want you to know that the enemy would tell you, listen, your best days are behind you. Everything from now on is just going to get worse. You don't have any hope. What do you have hope in? Everything's falling apart around you. The world's going to hell in a handbasket, right? But the Lord would say, listen, when I look at you, I see you as more than a conqueror. When I look at you, I see that you are blessed and highly favored. And in fact, the Lord speaks that over you daily. Do you understand that? He blesses you. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. Woo-hoo. So the first thing we need to keep in mind is we need to stay thankful. Celebrate what God is doing. Stop complaining about what He isn't doing. That's stewarding your heart well. Amen? The second thing, stay humble. We have to remember, church, that iron sharpens iron. It's important for us to have people in our lives that can speak into our lives. And what we have to worry about, this, the opposite of being humble is being prideful. If we're not careful, when people come and start sharing things or trying to speak wisdom into your life, how many of you have, that are maybe my age, or it doesn't even mean that we're wise when we become older, but there is a certain thing that should take place in our life through the experiences to make us wiser. But there's been several times I've sat down with younger people and some and tried to share just a couple little nuggets that would help them along the way, only to find out that they seem to think that they maybe have had everything worked out. How many of you know when things, when you're in the middle of something and when God's, you can see God in it from the very beginning, that oftentimes it doesn't quite work out the way you think it should? Anybody else? We need people in our lives. We need to allow people to speak into our lives. We need to be careful that we don't become prideful when God begins to set us up for advancement. When God begins to promote us, we need to keep our hearts in tune with His so that we remain humble. Amen? The third thing, we need to find You need to find your people. You need to find your people and serve them well. Remember, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Now, oftentimes when we go through a course, we go through a graduation, we go through these things, even processes in life. How many of you, when you stepped outside of a storm, you feel like, wow, I've gained something here, and now I've got the handle on it, only to find out that another storm hit you about the same way that one did? Before you can do an extraordinary work, you need to do an ordinary work in an extraordinary way. Church, I'm telling you, if you get this, you'll catch yourself from making a lot of stumbles. You want the position that's on your heart? Find a people, serve, and love well. God will promote. You see, if you're not sure what to do, find someone who is doing it and serve them. The key to serving, if you don't catch anything else I've got for you this morning, don't miss any of this stuff on serving. The key to serving is knowing who you are. You see, because when you know who you are, there is no position that's too low for you to serve. But it's when you don't know who you are that you find yourself struggling and fighting for the approval of man. The fourth thing I'd like to leave with you this morning is you don't ever give up. You don't ever give up. How many of you know that being on the right path always doesn't make things go smoothly? And I can hear it in my spirit, but Pastor, I've been praying for years for the same thing, and things haven't changed. I don't know how we got the message that if we don't see the breakthrough we want, That must mean that God doesn't want it for us. You see, we've been taught through life that if things don't work out or tragedy comes my way, God must be trying to teach me something. When the truth of it is we have learned wrong principles. You see, God is always on your side. God's thoughts about you, not for a whole year, every day, are more numerous than the sand that is on the seashore. And every one of them are for good. You don't give up. Well, I've been praying. You pray until the breakthrough comes. We've got to learn to contend, to keep pressing, to keep going after the reward, to keep going after what God's promised you. Don't let your adversary steal your promises. So keep praying. Keep believing and never give up. So I want to read you a quotation that was from one of Chris Vallotton's books. It says, "Where are the people like Joseph who will become a father to the pharaohs of the world and see a whole nation fall into the hands of God? What has happened to the Elijahs who confronted kings and changed history with their prophetic proclamations? What has become of people like Daniel, who stood in the courts of four worldly kings, served four worldly kings, and won the most powerful nations of their time to God? Why aren't the Nehemiahs and the Ezras of our day around to rebuild the cities and ruin walls? Why is it that giants such as abortion, homosexuality, racism, crime, corruption, addiction go on and on and on and on? Why are these things allowed to wreak havoc on our families, on our society, without being stopped or held back from the king by the kingdom of God? Why? Why is it that the people of God end up hiding behind pews, hoping that our government will pass a law to stop all these things? You see, we have been called to teach the nations how to stop giants. You see, we have been called to teach them how to prosper in famines. We have been called to rebuild the cities and restore fathers to their lost children. As I think about that, I'm drawn back once again to that comment I made to you about being humble. How do you stay humble when God begins to promote you? You don't think more highly of yourself than you should. So I was drawn to Genesis chapter 37. I'm going to be done in a few moments. With the story of Joseph. It's like almost every time I read this story, God reveals something, another piece to it. I'm going to start with verse 3. Now Israel, or Jacob, loved Joseph more than all of his sons, because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than the other brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. So now Joseph had a dream. And he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. As I began to think about that story, it started out in chapter 37 by making a comment. I'm sorry, my throat's a little dry. Making a comment that started out by saying Joseph was 17 years of age. And the Bible goes on to tell us in this story that Joseph found himself coming back from the fields to tell his father things about his brothers. How many of you know that oftentimes if we're not careful, anger and jealousy will end up setting us up for failure? You see, Joseph went back and began to complain to his father about his brothers. And it wasn't like it was bad enough, but his brothers already hated him because they knew that Joseph was the favorite one. But to make matters worse, after Joseph had his dream, Joseph decided to share it with his brothers. Can you imagine it with me? It might not have came down something real close to this, but I think it might have been close. Hey, guys, let me tell you something. I can't wait to tell you this dream I had. I had a dream that I rose up in the middle, and you guys all got around me and kind of bowed down to me. That'll get the spirit of anger going. We don't like you anyway. Maybe get the name calling or something, huh? So can you imagine? It's like they couldn't stand him anyway. Every time they turned around, he was going back telling on them. They knew that he was their dad's favorite. And now he's telling them his dream that they're going to bow down. And, oh, hey, I had another dream. And mom and dad were bowing down too. Just getting them all stirred up. So, word of wisdom. When God gives you a dream, make sure you talk to God if it's okay to share it with people. You see, because every once in a while, most of the time, God will drop something in your spirit, and it's for you. But see, that spirit of humbleness kind of got knocked off of Joseph because he had the coat. He had the favor of his father on him. And he knew his brothers didn't like him. So the Bible said his dad called him in one day and says, go out to your brothers. They're out there in the field. He heads on out to find them. They weren't there. But when he found them, the Bible says they saw him coming, and their hatred even then began to just get stirred up. Look at this. Here comes the dreamer. I want you to know, if you don't protect the dreams that the Lord gives you, the enemy will snatch them away from you. Joseph is coming. They make a decision right there. A couple of them said, you know what? I'm sick and tired of this. Let's kill him. If we kill him, we can tell dad an animal, whatever. One of his brothers rose up and said, listen, we can't do that. They threw him in a cistern. And the story goes on that there's a band of Ishmaelites that were coming by. They took him out of the cistern, sold him into slavery. Then he was sold to Egyptians. So what I'm trying to get to is God takes us through a process. If we aren't keeping our hearts humble, the process is God will take you to the pit, God will take you to the prison, and then to the palace. You see, Joseph was thrown in the pit. How many of you might have begun to think that maybe the dream you had wasn't quite what you thought? Could God be in the middle of this? he just told me all these things, showed me all these things. Everything seems to be going the opposite way. It's not bad enough that he gets thrown into a pit. Now he gets sold into slavery. He ends up in Potiphar's house. He gets accused of something he never did. God, where are you at? I can hear us now. How come? What's going on? You told me all these things are going to happen. The truth is, church, oftentimes when God speaks a promise or a dream into your life, that dream is so much bigger than just you. The dream he gave to Joseph was not just for Joseph. It was for the preservation of a nation. But God took him through that process. When we look at Joseph's journey, it took him through the pit, the prison, and finally to the palace. What we often overlook is it took the process to bring him into the fulfillment of his destiny. We must remember that our dreams and our promises are much bigger than they seem, are much bigger than ourselves. It's about the legacy that we each are leaving behind. If you would, if you'd stand with me, I'm going to close this morning. Mark Twain once said that the two most important days in a person's life, the first one is the day that he's born. And the second day is the day that you find out why you were born. So this morning, under the inspiration of Holy Spirit, I know you know your birth date. But I want to declare a word over you today. Why you were born. And this is for the graduates, the students of LCC, LSLC, SSM. Too many numbers. Too many letters. QWXYZ. This is for every one of you standing in this room, because every one of you are running the same race to fulfill your destiny. You are called to shape history. You have been born to impact the world. You were created to leave a legacy. You see, because God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Through him, he has given the church the power to bring individuals and nations into freedom. I want you to know that here at Life Church, we are committed to see Jesus get what he has paid for. And what is that? A world transformed through you. You see, we are driven by passion to raise up revivalists who pursue God, live the gospel, and release the kingdom into every sphere of influence. We are to raise up revivalists who go into the world, who say what he is saying, who do what he is doing. We do all this because we believe we owe the world an encounter with our Lord. Amen. So this morning, I decree over you, you are a revivalist. You are God's workmanship. You carry His Holy Spirit. And what you carry is contagious. But it must be released. I speak over you this morning. Don't try to avoid the process. Stay thankful. Stay humble. Find your people and serve them well. And don't ever give up. Father, I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that's here today. I thank you for the work you're doing in our lives. Just one touch from you and everything changes. We thank you for the visitation of Holy Spirit today in our midst. We'd ask, oh Lord, that we'd not miss one thing you have for us. Keep our hearts in tune with yours. In Jesus' name. I've got one more scripture I want to share with you. In Romans 8, starting with verse 26, I'll read it quickly. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Don't miss that. And we know, and this is the part all of us know and can recite, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. And to those who are called according to His purpose. So as I think about that last verse, I want you to know that if all things haven't worked for good in your life, then it's not the end. That's a word for you. If things haven't worked out, why? Because that's what God says. I cause all things to work together for good to those who love the Lord. So if everything hasn't worked out for good, it's not over. That's right. I'm going to leave you with that. Chew on that for the week and come back and see me next week. We'll talk about it a little bit more. So I don't know about that, Pastor. That's okay. You go grab that verse 8, chapter 8, Romans 28. We'll get after it again next week. I bless you in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I speak increase over your life. I speak to you. You have stepped into a season of open doors. Wow, I felt that. Doors are going to start opening before you. Yeah. You have thought that doors have been closed. But I hear the Lord saying this morning, this is not a delay. You're not in a season of delay. In fact, it's the opposite. You're in a season of acceleration. Doors will begin to open and doors will begin to shut. What you need to do as a child of God is know the will of God for your life. Know what your assignment is. Know what your destiny is. Knowing and understanding the journey you're walking through, because you are stepping into new times, new seasons, new realms, new rooms, and fresh anointings. show. In Jesus' name, I bless you. If you're here this morning and you have a you need a physical touch, I want to pray for you this morning on our left, your right. If you're here this morning, you just feel like you need a fresh infilling.